We seek refuge with Almighty Allah. Highly glorified is He, from the rejected Shaitan or Satan. With the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. The accolades of thanks and praise are the right and are rightly directed to Almighty Allah and no one else. Highly glorified is He, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified is He. I praise Him. I seek His help. I beg Him for His forgiveness. I believe in Him and put my trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. I seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of my own soul and the evil of my deeds. For He that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can misguide her. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to stray, there is no one who can be his guide. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He has no partners nor associates. And I bear witness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, friends and family, and to my dear brothers and sisters in humanity, I extend the greetings of peace as the Muslims greet one another with a divine greeting mentioned in the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And so we begin with the best of words that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in His final revelation, the Holy Quran. فَعْلَمُوا فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Then know that there is no God except Allah. And we share the best guidance that was given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his last messenger, when he said, as reported in hadith or in his traditions, that the best of what I have said, or that any prophet or messenger has ever said, is that there is no God except Allah. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, friends and family, brothers and sisters in humanity, I thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity afforded to me through the MSA and the Black Student Union to address you this afternoon on subjects that are both part of my personal history, my faith, and my family. That is the history of Islam in Chicago, the Elijah Muhammad family, and how we can apply the lessons learned from both to our present and future. Dear brothers and sisters, we begin at the core of these subjects. And the core of the history of Islam in Chicago, the core of the Elijah Muhammad family, the core of our shared present and future is the creed, the foundation, the kalima, the phrase that is heavier than seven universes and seven earths, the creed, the tahleel, the truth. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no God except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is Islam, period. And its understanding, import, belief, and practice is what defines the practitioner. Its declaration is how one enters the ranks of the righteous and assumes the divine designation Muslim. On February 26, 1975, Wallace D. Muhammad was clear that up until that point, the nation of Islam had yet to learn Islam, let alone learn what it meant to be Muslim. It was just a day earlier at Mercy Hospital that my grandfather, his father, Elijah Muhammad, had died at the age of 77 on the eve of the Nation of Islam's annual commemorative convention known as Savior's Day. Tens of thousands had traveled from every part of the United States to be in attendance and listen to whom they called the messenger, only to learn that he had died the morning before, leaving them devastated and standing for the first time in front of their new leader, Wallace D. Muhammad. And what was Wallace's first order of business? The creed. "I would not refer to my father as a god," Wallace said. "I want to get rid of all this spooky spiritual stuff. Our purpose is the revival and restoration of the pure Islam. God does not eat. He does not drink. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets, and the Quran is the last book." These were his first words on the path to Islam for his people. And so, as their leader instructed all of those present to repeat after him the true creed, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." With this declaration, on a bitterly cold day in February on the south side of Chicago, more than 20,000 African-American men and women who had entered the doors of Temple No. 2 as members of the Nation of Islam exited the mosque as believers within the global fraternity of Muslims. This event marked the birth of al-Islam as a community and as a force within the city of Chicago. Dear brothers and sisters, how did it come to pass that more than 20,000 African American men and women with one voice declared the creed of al-Islam, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah"? What led them to this? Why did Wallace D. Muhammad, their new leader, feel it imperative that this be the first thing that they do even before they buried his father? Before we can appreciate this historic occasion, one must know something about the African enslaved and oppressed in America and his struggle with identity. In a land that enslaved, oppressed, castigated, castrated, and nearly crucified him, as an African American, where was his salvation? In 1845, Jesus saved everybody, unless you were black. Frederick Douglass eloquently wrote of his bitter disenfranchisement with the Christianity of this land when he said, "I find, since reading over the foregoing narrative," this being his narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass, I continue, "I find, since reading over the foregoing narrative, that I have in several instances spoken in such a tone and manner respecting religion as may possibly lead to those unacquainted with my religious views to suppose me in opposition of all religion. To remove the liability of such misapprehension, I deem it proper to append the following brief explanation. What I have said respecting and against religion, I mean strictly to apply to the slaveholding religion of this land, and with no possible reference to Christianity proper. For between the Christianity of this land and the Christianity of Christ, I recognize the widest possible difference, so wide that to receive the one as good, pure, and holy is of necessity to reject the other as bad, corrupt, and wicked. To be the friend of the one is of necessity to be the enemy of the other. I love the pure, peaceable, and impartial Christianity of Christ, and therefore I hate the corrupt, slave-holding, women-whipping, cradle-plundering, partial and hypocritical Christianity of this land. Indeed, I can see no reason but the most deceitful one for calling the religion of this land Christianity. I look upon it as the climax of all misnomers, the boldest of all frauds, and the grossest of all libels. Never was there a clearer case of, quote, stealing the livery of the court of heaven to serve the devil in, end quote. I am filled with unutterable loathing when I contemplate the religious pomp and show, together with the horrible inconsistencies which everywhere surround me. We have men stealers for ministers, women whippers for missionaries, and cradle plunderers for church members. The man who wields the blood-clotted cowskin whip during the week fills the pulpit on Sunday and claims to be a minister of the meek and lowly Jesus. The man who robs me of my earnings at the end of each week meets me as a class leader on Sunday morning to show me the way of life and the path of salvation. He who sells my sister for the purposes of prostitution stands forth before me as the one who would lead and advocate purity. He who proclaims it a religious duty to read the Bible denies me the right of learning to read the name of the God who made me. Dear brothers and sisters, again, to appreciate the significance of 20,000 African Americans converting at once to Islam, one must appreciate their struggle for identity. Where were they to find justice? Where was their liberty? As late as 1968, liberty and justice was for all, unless you were black. Search through the archival photos and gaze upon thousands of African Americans marching on March 29th in 1968 in Memphis, Tennessee. Read their signs, four words only. Yet they concisely pinpointed the plight of that people. I am a man. Dear brothers and sisters, the Jim Crow laws of the day and the social norms across the nation relegated black people to the fringes of any advancement or social acceptance within the fabric of that society. Separate water fountains, seating at the back of the bus, no right to vote, nor use the same restrooms, nor sit at the same table, nor even come in the front door of an establishment where you may be employed. And quite often, the gray-haired, wise old man of color would be demeaned and denigrated in public by white men half his age with a three-letter word, boy. Dr. King said it best at the conclusion of the march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. Quote, "If it may be said of the slavery era that the white man took the world and gave the Negro Jesus, then it may be said of the Reconstruction era that the Southern aristocracy took the world and gave the poor white man Jim Crow. He gave him Jim Crow. And when his wrinkled stomach cried out for the food that his empty pockets could not provide, he ate Jim Crow. A psychological bird that told him that no matter how bad off he was, at least he was a white man, better than a black man. And he ate Jim Crow. And when his undernourished children cried out for the necessities that his low wages could not provide, he showed them the Jim Crow signs on the buses and in the stores and on the streets and in the public buildings. And his children, too, learned to feed upon Jim Crow, their last outpost of a psychological oblivion." Dear brothers and sisters, Jim Crow was thriving in the South, aided and abetted by the courts and police alike in the year in which Elijah was born. Born Robert Elijah Poole in 1897, Elijah's parents were sharecroppers on rural farmland on the outskirts of Georgia. Jim Crow, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, friends and family, and brothers and sisters in humanity, in the South was a very dangerous place if you were black. Didn't matter if you were man, woman, or child. No one was safe. Between 1882 and 1920, an estimated 4,724 black men, women, and children met their deaths at the hands of lynch mobs. To glimpse the depths of the depravity rampant at the time Elijah was coming of age, one black woman's story may give us a very chilling example. Upon learning of her husband's lynching, Mary Turner, in her 8th month of pregnancy, vowed to find those responsible, swear out warrants against them, and have them punished in the courts. For making such a threat, a mob of several hundred men and women determined to, quote, "teach her a lesson." After tying her ankles together, they hung her from a tree, head downward. Dousing her clothing with gasoline, they burned them from her body. While still alive, someone used a knife ordinarily reserved for splitting hogs to cut open the woman's abdomen. The infant fell from her womb to the ground and cried briefly, whereupon a member of the Valdosta, Georgia mob crushed the baby's head beneath his heel. Hundreds of bullets were fired into Mary Turner's body, completing the work of the mob. The Associated Press, in its notice of the affair, observed that Mary Turner had made, quote, unwise remarks about the execution of her husband, end quote. And the people, in their indignant mood, took exception to her remarks as well as her attitude. This was the climate in which Elijah Muhammad came of age. In light of such stark, unrepentant savagery, it is no wonder that when Elijah declared the white man the blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil, the skunk of the planet Earth, he had throngs of black people to follow. Dear brothers and sisters, although Farad Muhammad, the mentor and teacher of Elijah, introduced him to the words Allah, Islam, Muhammad, Mecca, and the concepts that are familiar to Muslims worldwide, Elijah has and was left to develop his own theology without a teacher, with a substandard third grade education, no one to truly teach him what it meant to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one to teach him and explain the meaning of the tahleel. No one to teach him the meaning of the creed. No one to let him know that really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of food, is not in need of drink. He is unseen and he needs no one and no thing. And so, in his well-known publication, Message to the Black Man, Elijah boldly declared, God is a man. And that Allah appeared in the person of Farad Muhammad in 1930, and that he, Farad, was not only God in person, but he was the Mahdi that the Muslims waited on and the Messiah all in one. Dear brothers and sisters, the theological ideas and theology of what became the nation is the antithesis, the exact opposite of the creed of al-Islam. And this is why on the very next day after the death of his father, Wallace D. Muhammad made the correcting of this mistake the first order of business. His main objective for the nation, teach them the meaning of the creed. There is no God except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That the theology as conceived by Elijah still lives on to challenge the pure creed of Islam and cause confusion for those seeking the truth today represents both an indictment and an opportunity. An indictment on those who, when they had the opportunity and chance to thwart any attempt to resurrect this lie, and they didn't. And an opportunity for those of us who have been blessed with the knowledge to work harder to promote the truth, the kalima, the creed, that there is no God except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, the history of Islam in Chicago is that in 1934, Elijah Muhammad pointed the way to the truth. And in 1975, Wallace D. Muhammad began to teach to the members of the nation what that truth meant. With the establishment of Masjid al-Fatir on the corner of 47th and Woodlawn here in Chicago in 1983, Jabir Muhammad, my father, may God have mercy upon his soul, and Muhammad Ali sought to continue the good works of what Elijah had introduced and Imam W.D. Muhammad taught here in Chicago. That, again, being the creed, the pure creed of al-Islam. Today, Masjid al-Fatir stands as the best manifestation of the legacy of the Muhammad family. And I am honored to serve as one of those who assist in maintaining its principles and purpose. However, it is only one of the many goals that we as Muslims and members of the Muhammad family hope to establish for the community here in Chicago. Yet, the greatest obstacle to those goals is not external, it's internal. It's not financial, but fraternal. The challenge lies between us. The challenge lies between those of us who profess belief in this creed and our commitment to living the creed. This creed that we have been given is stronger than blood and heavier than gold. Once spoken truthfully, it instantly unites us as family. And we are the ones who have to recognize one each other as such, to see each other as brother, not other, to see each other as family and friend, not foe. The problem, dear Muslim brothers, sisters, friends, family, brothers and sisters in humanity, is that there is work on both sides. But in order to fix the problem, we must first have to recognize that there is a problem. Without unity, there cannot be community. And this is the only thing that keeps us from progress. Staying disunited serves the age-old plan, divide and conquer. So, I remind you, as Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, reminded his companions, treat everyone as if they are your brother, because if they are not your brother in faith, then they are most certainly your brother in humanity. Dear brothers and sisters, sincerity is the fruit of the soul that is only harvested after one has labored hard to work on their own self. I strongly encourage each and every one of us to live up to the creed that they profess, to manifest its excellence not through words but through actions. To be the change that you want to see, start with yourself. Live your creed. Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabiyyi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Surely Allah and his angels send prayers upon Prophet Muhammad. O you who believe, send prayers upon him and a righteous salutation. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Thank you.